Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. Man, I wish I could just see you. It's so hard with this social distancing, isn't it? But I just want you to know that you are all in my heart, and in my heart, my mind, and I've just been thinking about you, and I'm really praying you have a wonderful day, and you are truly blessed, and I just wish each one of you a happy Mother's Day. So today we're going to continue in our study of the book of Hebrews, but before we get started, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all those people that are listening today, and I just ask, Father, that you would just teach us and guide us, that you would help us, Lord. Give us supernatural understanding and clarity. Help answer our questions. And Father, would you use this time to draw us closer to your Son and remind us of our need for him. Father, I pray that you would protect this time, and that it would be your words and your message. Father, that you would give me the words or the knowledge, Father, to share. You would bless this time, Lord. And that these seeds planted would just continue to grow in our hearts and our lives throughout this entire week. Father, we would just dwell in your majesty. We dwell in your love and your grace and your mercy. We just get caught up in that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we started the book of Hebrews last week, and we got through the first four verses. And I don't know if you're aware, but the writer of Hebrews spends an entire chapter making sure we, quote-unquote, get Jesus. So I felt like we should spend a little bit more time in this chapter. So I want to read the whole chapter with you today, and then just sort of go over it a little bit more, a little deeper, I think. So Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father." God also said, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else." He also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing, and you will fold them like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same, and you will live forever." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Jesus is the creator. Verse 2 God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, He created the universe. I want to try to explain this verse a bit. I don't know about you, but reading the Son as an inheritance and the Son as the Creator caused me to kind of go, So I had to listen to several different studies, read my commentary. Actually, I was a little disappointed in my commentary. I didn't really address that at all. But just trying to understand and trying to wrap my head around it to be able to share with you what I was learning. And to be honest, I had a hard time. I'm having a hard time trying to express it, what I had learned. So I decided instead of me trying to explain something that I'm still learning, I just wanted to quote. So I'm going to quote John Piper, because I feel like he really did an excellent job in explaining this. So this is John Piper's quote: "God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. All the land, the air, the water, the buildings, all the political might, all human resources, all natural resources, bacteria, viruses, all spiritual entities, demons and angels, Satan, everything. But God the Father is Christ. He inherits it. He owns it. He controls it. Why does this matter? For this reason, I believe," John Piper being the I, John Piper says, "I believe if Christ has come as God's decisive word to me, then if he is the heir of all things at the end of the age, controlling and owning all that is, he can make good on his word. So if he says to John Piper, if he says to Tammy Hardwick, 'Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth,' I can't come back to him and say, 'How can you give the earth? How can you make a promise like that?' Because the answer is given right here. He owns the earth. It's his to give to whom he chooses. So if he makes a promise that the meek inherit the earth, he will make good on that promise. Or if he says, 'Nothing shall separate you or I from the love of Christ. Nothing in all of creation shall separate you from the love of God in Christ.' And if I were to say, 'Oh, but how do you know?' And he says, 'He owns it. It's his. And at the end of the age, he has total disposal over all things. And he can dispose of them for your good in any way he pleases.'" That was a quote from John Piper. In other words, God is making it clear to us that Jesus has total control. He created, he owns it, everything. And everything created is at his disposal. And it's for this reason that you and I don't need to pause and ask, "But how do you know? But what if?" Because this passage tells us he knows because he owns it. Because it's his to do with as he pleases. And this is his will. And you and I can rest in the peace of the faithfulness of Christ. So with that said, let's go ahead and get back on track real quick. In the first chapter of Hebrews, we learn that Jesus is the Creator. We learn that Jesus owns all things created. That Jesus radiates God's glory. That Jesus is the exact expression of God's character. Jesus sustains everything. Verse 3, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command." So just pause for a minute and look at the words the author is using in this text. The first, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God." So if you were to say, in verse 2 we learn that Jesus created, that's what he did. And in verse 3 we learn who he is. This is super important. "And through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God." Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So what does this mean? Again, quoting John Piper. If you were to say that Jesus is the representation of God the Father the way a painting represents a person, then you'd be wrong. You could say Jesus represents the nature of God in the way an authorized letter from a king represents the king, and you'd be wrong. You could say Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the exact representation of God in the way a wax mold perfectly represents a ring, and you'd be wrong. The reason we'd be wrong in these statements is because the first phrase tells us how he is the representation. He is an exact representation of the Father in that he is the radiance of his glory. Radiance coming out from light, streaming down from the sun, is not another thing. End quote. The sun in our sky does not exist separate from the light and the heat that it emits, no more than the light and the heat exist apart from the sun. Jesus radiates God's glory and expresses the very character of God. Jesus radiates God's glory. Jesus is the flow from God. He's the exact representation of his character. And he sustains everything. The shirt you're wearing, the furniture you're sitting on, the friend or family member near you, the neighbors next door, the food in the fridge, the traffic you see as you drive down the road you drive on, everything. Everything that exists, exists because Jesus willed it so. Everything comes into existence because Jesus wills it. Everything remains in existence because Jesus wills it. And when we can begin to wrap our heads around who Jesus really is, then we can truly begin to worship him. The author of Hebrews spent the entire chapter trying to give us a clear picture or a right mindset regarding who Jesus is. He goes on in the chapter showing us that Jesus is not equal to the angels, but reigns superior to him. To them. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the creator. He's the heir of the universe. He sustains everything. He radiates God's glory. He is the exact representation of God's character. He is superior to the angels. He is our Savior and our Redeemer. When he had cleansed us, verse 3, when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Jesus is worthy of our praise. Verse 8 says, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, endures forever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Verse 10 says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will wear out like old clothing, and you will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever. Oh man, you guys, we got to read and reread this chapter over and over, and we got to pray, we got to ask God to pierce our souls with the truth of who Jesus is, and allow ourselves to just fall on our knees and worship. Jesus, without a doubt, is worthy of our praise. Jesus is, he's the flow. It's like God just pouring out. I mean, I just think of a fountain. I don't even know if that's a good analogy, but I guess the sun really is a great analogy. I just think about the sun and how it just beams with light and heat so powerful that we can never even get close to it, but yet we feel its warmth. We benefit from its light. And that's Jesus. Jesus is whom we feel, and Jesus is our benefactor. I mean, that's our salvation is through him. He reigns superior over everything. And I mean, He created and he sustains creation. I mean, it just a mere thought. If he just didn't want it, then it would just cease to be. It would just go out of existence. It wouldn't die. It wouldn't fall down. It wouldn't wither. It would just cease to be. Jesus holds everything together. Jesus, that powerful Jesus, died for you and I, for our sins. I mean, it's just awe-inspiring. It's mind-blowing. And to spend time, you know, in this chapter and just really reading and rereading and getting to know Jesus. This author spent so much time helping us to understand, helping us to see, you know, that God's connection to us, he speaks to us through his Son. And if we want to know God, if we want to know what he desires for our lives or how to solve problems, how to get through the moments, we need to look at Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus. If we want to see the Father, we need to look at Jesus. We learn that Jesus, that through him, God created the universe. And Jesus just radiates. He's the flow of God to you and I. And the love, the grace, the mercy, and its full power. It's just, I have no words. This picture in Hebrews is just truly mind-blowing to me. It just overwhelms my heart when I think of this powerful God who died on this cross for our sins. This God who created and sustains. This God who the angels bow before him. This God loves me. He loves you. That is just, I have no words. I have no words. I'm just broken. I'm just broken at when I think about the times that I wasn't in awe, that Jesus was, I didn't recognize his power, his authority. And I'm ashamed of those moments. This chapter really brings conviction to my heart. I love how Hebrews, the author, just took this time to reintroduce us to Jesus, to remind us of who he is. He created the world, and it's like, it says that it was like articles of clothing. It says that that they will all perish, but you'll remain forever. It says in verse 12, it says, you will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will be forever. Forever. God never said that to the angels or any other being. Jesus sits in a place of honor at the right hand. At honor. The angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who through Christ will inherit salvation. Thank you, God, so much for putting such an awesome, powerful plan in place. For your Son, Jesus, for loving us, for willing our existence and keeping us so. Lord, help us to see our purpose. Help us to see how we can just surrender our lives to you to bring you honor and glory. You are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. Help us to understand, Lord. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for everybody listening. I thank you for your word here today. I thank you for the reminder of who Jesus is and the power that he brings. and the love and the grace. Father, thank you. Help us to be mindful, to stay in this place where we just are focused on the mighty Jesus, the powerful Jesus, the death conqueror Jesus, the sin taker and redeemer Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' powerful, mighty, perfect, pure name, we pray. Amen.